The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
The poll in today's Irish Times makes for some interesting reading with insights into relaxing restrictions in earnest, vaccine uptake and COVID strategy. Now, to get some reaction to the poll's findings, I'm joined by Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College in Dublin and author of Coping with Coronavirus, Brendan Kelly. Brendan, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, it's a very interesting poll. I mean, let's start with the would you take the vaccine? The younger you are, generally speaking, the less happy you are. But still, 75% of the 18 to 24 say they would. Worryingly, I suppose, for an educated cohort, 21% say they would not. But if you look at the population as a whole, most people are gung-ho for the vaccine.
The vaccine is an extraordinary thing, Pat, because as recently as 6 or 8 months ago, the scientists were telling us quite correctly that a vaccine could take years and maybe never come. And suddenly, here we are with the number of vaccines approved and rollout has commenced. Now, there are continual stories about bumps in the road with rollout, but the big story here is that science has come up with a vaccine. And as we heard on your news bulletin there, it appears to do things that even the manufacturers didn't claim for it. That is to say, it appears to diminish the rate of infection. So combined with the public health measures, I think there's good reason for the high uptake of the vaccination and a high degree of enthusiasm for what really offers additional light at the end of this tunnel.
Now, what's interesting, the over 65s, 94% plus 3% have already had it. That brings you up to 97% or thereabouts who are absolutely enthusiastic. But it's great because the most vulnerable people are the over 65s and they're the most enthusiastic. It all makes sense.
Yes, it does. And they've had a difficult time. A lot of them have been at home and a lot of them will, a lot of people over the age of 65 also have a closer relationship with their family doctor, their GP. And the fact that it's being rolled out for many, through the general practice will also help with uptake. And certainly what we've seen in healthcare professionals where I work in Tally University Hospital, we've seen huge enthusiasm for vaccination. So I think the take-up rates will actually get even higher than what this poll is reporting today.
Now, on the level of COVID restrictions in place, too many restrictions on business and the economy, 31%. 43%, the level of restrictions just about right, and 24%, a significant number, saying there are not enough restrictions to safeguard the health of the population. That's more interesting to parse.
Well, Pat, this statistic reflects the diversity of experiences in the population. Like, as a doctor, I will freely admit I am very lucky because I still have a job, I still have work, and lots of your listeners don't. So in the population, we have people who have been bereaved by COVID-19, people who have been sick, people who have lost work or face insecurity, but also people who've been working harder than ever, a lot of the essential workers. So I think that diversity of experience, it's really good to see it reflected in that spread of opinion there regarding the restrictions. And I think it's understandable and it's so heartening to see this reported in this way as opposed to a simple national statistic, because this is complex, there is a diversity of views, and broadly there is a tolerance for restriction. I think the experience since Christmas getting those numbers back down has really demonstrated that restrictions, although they're quite brutal economically and socially, restrictions do get the case numbers down, and I think that's what we're seeing reflected in those numbers there.
Now, next Monday marks the reopening of schools. The younger children in the kindergarten age group and first and second class, and the Leaving Cert students going back, and then a fortnight later the fifth years and so on and so forth. 44% in favour of full reopening of the schools immediately. 44% want everything open right now. 36% say before the summer. 18% say no, wait until after the summer. Again, that's interesting because you can see how people are at the end of their tether with children homeschooling and all the rest, and watching maybe their appetite for learning diminish, their appetite for laptops and tablets increasing in inverse proportion. So you can understand that, but there is the concern that we're taking a big leap into the unknown with new variants, no additional precautions, it would appear, in schools, just what was there before. So that is reflected, I think, probably in these opinions.
Yeah, I mean, the figures for schools do reflect the desire to see children educated and to see their social development not be interrupted, because many children haven't seen their friends or maybe see a friend once a week with distancing, and it's simply not the same immersive experience. School is a part of that. Now, the restrictions and the precautions in school, certainly looking at some of the material schools are producing now, do seem to be that little bit tighter than they were last time. And rather than leaping in with full school reopening, it does make sense to prioritise, send fewer children back in the key areas, and then see how that goes and review how that goes. We also need to take into account teachers who have been adapting to new guidelines and new circumstances for months now and generally doing a good job with it. But they too need to be, you know, the precautions need to be in place for them as essential workers as well as they adapt to yet another change in their working practices. But again,
before,
the poll reflects this complexity and the fact that the public, we are thinking in complex ways about the balances to be struck with this programme.
Yeah, and one of the issues, of course, is that they're opening two cohorts, the Leaving Cert who will get to school on their own, one presumes, whether they're cycling, walking or driving even, and then another cohort that will depend on parental delivery to schools. So we got to keep an eye out on what's happening. But will we know if there is kind of a general rise in the population? We'll have to be able to dissect whether it's the congregation of parents outside the school gate or the congregation of students down in the local centre when they're getting their lunchtime sandwich, if there is a bump. Many people not being able to understand why, you know, we went from 200 cases in early December because we opened up, and we're at 600 cases at the moment. You'd be asking, why are we opening up?
Sure, and the imperatives to open up are strong from economic and social perspectives. I mean, the Central Statistics Office produces some very interesting numbers as well, looking at the social and psychological impact of the pandemic, and they're very clear that you know, the effects on mental health are significant. But most of these effects are mediated by things like job loss and other social factors that make the anxiety and the depressive symptoms somewhat understandable. So they do need to be weighed up. And I think parents dropping off children now will be just so grateful their children are back in education that parents will indeed adhere to the guidelines at the school gate and so forth. So we'll need to keep an eye maybe on the young people themselves, as you say, congregating at the Centra or wherever. Although Centra and the other shops, also I've seen them be very, very vigilant and manage these situations very well.
Yeah. I wonder, do we have enough clear guidance, though, to all the cohorts, you know, to the students themselves, whether or not they choose to wear a mask? Is it mandatory in the classroom that they should, particularly in the light of variants that may be much more infectious, even though they mightn't have dire consequence for the student who contracts a new variant? They could bring it home to mammy, daddy, or granny, or granddad. You know, that is the issue. Do you think there's enough clear guidance? Do people need guidance, in other words?
The material that I've seen from schools this week is very, very clear. And, you know, it's very strong in terms of distancing, in terms of masks, in terms of positively encouraging students. The students want to get back to school. The Leaving Certs want to know what's going on and so forth. So I think there will be a lot of adherence to the guidance now out of sheer, you know, tedium and desperation to get things back to normal. So certainly the guidance I've seen from schools has been very good, and it is accompanied by, you know, statements that if this isn't adhered to, you know, you won't be able, you'll be spoken to and there will be disciplinary steps taken. So I think the schools are gearing up for this, and I think this survey shows this is the right step to take at this time.
Now, the travel abroad, it's, you know, fairly clear. Travel abroad should be allowed in all circumstances. Only 5% say that should be the case. Travel abroad should only be allowed if those returning to Ireland have a negative COVID test and quarantine is enforced. 41%, so that's significant. And 53% say travel abroad should not be allowed until the majority of the Irish population has been vaccinated. So there is a conservative approach to travel and you know, maybe a more critical approach to the whole thing than the government is taking, because they say that, you know, you should be quarantined if you come back, as well as having a negative COVID test.
Yeah, I mean, the population is utterly sick and tired of this situation, the pandemic, and I think you see this reflected here in the very conservative position about travel. I think this is really, really good to see because it shows that the frustration with the pandemic and with the restrictions is being translated into a belief that restrictions and management can be helpful. Rather than sort of a more oppositional position, which might reasonably have emerged. And it's so interesting as well, Pat, to look at the figures for the reopening of pubs, restaurants for indoor dining. A full 58% of people believe that should not happen until after the summer. I mean, that's really quite the restriction to be supporting. In other words, no indoor dining in pubs and restaurants until after the summer, according to 58% of respondents. And since I know that's something that, you know, is a part of holiday making for an awful lot of people, it shows a real appetite for trying to sort of nail this down now and keep some pretty tough restrictions until the numbers come down and we have greater control of the situation.
And then, of course, the panacea we all hope for, and 68% of the people say they're in favour of going back to normal once the elderly and vulnerable have been vaccinated. In other words, I suppose the over 65s and anyone with underlying conditions, people who have various other issues that might not protect them in the event of them being infected. Once that cohort is completely vaccinated, 68% says, let's go back to normal.
Well, look, I think that's a desire for normality. And, you know, with the rationale about vaccinating the vulnerable and those at highest risk of serious illness from COVID, obviously, you know, other people are at equal risk of getting infected, but not at equal risk of developing serious illness from COVID. And the vaccine will help address that in part in the older cohort and the vulnerable. So I think that makes a great deal of sense. It is perhaps a little on the optimistic side. However, I think we need to make more space for optimism and for belief in the current public debate of this. I mean, pandemics end. They have always passed over the course of history, and it's never been clear how they would pass at the time, but they have always ended. As we have seen, restrictions, although brutal, do bring down case numbers, and vaccines are proving better. I mean, I think it's almost unique in the history of medicine that the product is doing more than the pharmaceutical company said it would in terms of dampening down the infection. So the desire to reopen is very understandable, but it's so heartening to see it combined with this understanding of the need for a certain amount of restriction before we get back to normal.
And finally, Brendan, the question of mental health. We know there are older people who are isolated, who haven't seen a sinner since this whole thing started, and their suffering is well recorded, I suppose, and well understood. But what about young people? Have you seen a surge in the mental health difficulties of young people because of these restrictions?
Well, there are two quite separate things going on. There is a general increase in anxiety in the population, and much of that is understandable. It's to do with loss of work and uncertainty. And then there is mental illness itself, and we are seeing lots of exacerbations and relapses of severe mental illness. Again, the Central Statistics Office just there a couple of days ago published some really interesting figures showing that about 32% of people over the age of 70 say their mental health is negatively affected. That's 32% of the over 70s. But among 18 to 34-year-olds, that figure is 74%. So we have younger people reporting a much higher negative effect on mental health. And it's not equally distributed in genders either. Around 17% of women report feeling lonely all or most of the time. And that's 17% in women compared to 9% among men. So there is an impact in terms of mental well-being, and that's a little bit different to the impact in terms of mental illness, which is, you know, relapses of illnesses like schizophrenia. But a lot of this, Pat, is due to the pandemic itself. It's due to the virus. We do tend to blame the restrictions and the government and communication strategies, and they're all very, very relevant. But I think a great deal of this is due to the pandemic, and the Irish Times poll shows an understanding of that with the acceptance of a certain amount of restriction. So in terms of mental health, it is clearly important that we keep it in our minds as we get through this period. It's important we reach out to other people, try and keep a little bit of routine, keep an eye on your diet, your exercise and so forth. But above all, remember that there are reasons for optimism in terms of restrictions bringing down case numbers, vaccination starting, which really does make the light at the end of this tunnel brighter than it was during the last period of restrictions.
And certainly where I am today, looking out my window, it's a sparkling day, a day for a walk, a day to get out there and a day to feel optimistic. Brendan, thank you very much for joining us. Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College in Dublin, author of Coping with Coronavirus, Brendan Kelly.